The hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
So this was kind of the big social media story in the news. Twitter said that it is based on the behavior of an account. So if an account looks particular...
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline studio on this Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to the afternoon on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand here. Frank Sennett will be along a little bit later to talk about the election in one way or another and what the business community will be looking to J.B. Pritzker for and what they expect from J.B. Pritzker. And it's not going to be easy because I think pension fixes are way up on the list. So we'll talk to Frank about that a little bit later. Terry Savage is on a phone line. She knows all when it comes to personal finance and joins us from a remote location this Wednesday afternoon. Terry, welcome back.
I'm remotely over at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange where we have a board meeting starting at 12:30. I'm sorry I can't be in studio today.
Oh, that's okay. I appreciate you joining us. Okay, look, I don't understand you people sometimes, you experts, when it comes to Wall Street and finance. The Dow is up 390 points right now. I was reading that it spiked earlier when President Trump said he was willing to work with the House Democrats to get things done. Who in their right mind would make a trade, not just this president, but on any sort of platitude like that, or it's just an empty sentence?
Oh, no, Steve. The market was just looking for an excuse to go higher.
Okay.
That's all. I mean, I listened to as much of the press conference as I could before I joined you. That was one takeaway, that the president wants to work with the Democrats. The other takeaway was an awful lot of threats. and I found the whole thing actually rather sad. It's one thing to have partisan politics. It's another thing to have the president threatening. So I'm not optimistic for the markets based on that. I can't imagine why anyone is. But, in fact, markets are looking at the facts. And I'll give you three or four reasons here why the markets could be bullish. The first is history. In fact, a Republican president and a divided Congress has a historic track record going back to 1936 of providing a 12% average annual return.
Okay.
When you get it's better, by the way. The best average annual returns came when you had a Democratic president and a split Congress. The average annual returns for the two-year period after that election is 16%.
Is that a statistic?
12% is nothing. That's just a Merrill Lynch graphic they put out that's just very telling.
Tell me why it's telling. I mean, tell me why it's not just coincidental.
Because it goes back to 1936.
Okay.
But more important than that, first of all, it takes into account the fact that over the long run, the stock market's always been on an uptrend. And the average historical return with dividends reinvested is a bit over 10% for every 20-year period. So over the long run, I'm saying. So the fact is, we put a lot of stock into the impact of the elections on the market. But in a period where you're going to get economic growth, you're going to expect to get some outsized returns. And that, by the way, is the second reason for the market to be bullish. The market is thinking the following. Hey, there's going to be gridlock. That means the tax cuts won't be impacted. They won't be diminished as if you'd had a completely Democratic Congress. The deregulation that we like so much, that'll continue. And a bonus? Maybe there'll be infrastructure spending. Maybe the Democrats and the Republicans could agree on one thing. It's spending more money. Take a look at Caterpillar stock is up.
Right.
And finally, the tech stocks are thinking, wait a minute, maybe the president won't be going after us so strongly. Do remember, a lot of the tech companies are big Democratic.
I read that. Okay, let's flesh that out, because I read that as well, that maybe Amazon will be freed up now a little bit. What can a Democratic House do to thwart the president when it comes to these big tech companies?
Here's what they can do. They can keep him otherwise occupied. Well, I don't think that's so great for the market, but they have, committee chair have subpoena power these days. They don't have to consult with their opposing ranking member from the other party. And so you can be sure, I mean, you've heard the reports already. They're lining up who they're going to subpoena about the tax returns, about a million things. They may be right or wrong about it, but it looks like they will distract him. I'll tell you, it looks like Maxine Waters, will be chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. I think that's got bankers having heart palpitations, you know.
Sure.
So there's going to be plenty that will go around that will slow things down. And in the meantime, the market is saying, we will give the economy a chance to continue to grow because they won't touch tax cuts.
And we need to move on, but let's flip it. Are you telling me that had the Republicans kept the House yesterday, that today the market would be down?
I'm telling you that in periods where there's a Republican president and a Republican Congress,
yeah, that's a long-term thing.
Returns
right.
are significantly
sure.
lower.
I'm talking about today.
I think the market today. I don't know how to predict that hypothetical. I think the market was looking for an excuse to go up. And remember, the market measures money. It doesn't. It measures human emotion, but the financial expectations are what it really measures. And what it's measuring is the expectation that profits will continue to grow and jobs will continue to be created. And the market doesn't really take into account all the things that people might be upset about in the way the election came out. I would like to just add one point before we leave this. If you have, let's move out from today, tomorrow, and the next 6 months. If you have A, gridlock, B, maybe some action on infrastructure, C, continued spending, what you're going to have is bigger deficits, more borrowing, potentially interest rates going up, likely now the Fed will raise rates again in December for sure. And you have the possibility around the corner of inflation. In the long run, that's not bad for stocks, but it sure is bad for the economy, and it makes a big difference in your retirement planning on a personal level. And I think it's time to raise that word.
Terry Savage is on a phone line here, as she writes, of course, about personal finance, and you can read her columns at terrysavage.com. There's a column up today about saving for college, and Illinois, it's the Bright Start program, right, Terry?
It's some very good news. You know, my column now goes around the country, syndicated by the Tribune. So when you go to my website, typically the columns are all related to things that are national. But today, in addition to a recent column on TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, I put up some news about Bright Start, and it's all good news. Many people know that a decade ago when the Bright Start, one of the funds, lost a lot of money, the conservative fund that most people relied on not to lose any money, but at the start of the financial crisis, they had misinvested that fund. And I really badmouthed them for the next 7 or 8 years.
Okay, can I
about
just say, so there are different choices, but so Illinois Bright Start is the one where you invest and hope your money grows. College Illinois is the one where you would sort of prepay tuition, just so people...
Right, let's divide that up right now. The prepaid tuition plan depends a lot on the finances of the state of Illinois. That's College Illinois. We're not talking about that here. Bright Start Savings is every state has its own 529 college savings plan with investment choices. You have some risk because you're investing in mutual funds. But 2 years ago, I pointed out Bright Start had changed some managers around. It had lowered its fees. And it was just announced that Morningstar, the prestigious ratings group, had named Bright Start Savings 529 plan one of only four gold, that's the best rated plans, out of 62 that it rates. It's a real compliment. This is now the second year in a row they've achieved that gold status. One of the other ones is the Vanguard plan, which is what I opened for my grandchildren because I, at the time, did not like Bright Start at all. But the advantage for Illinois residents is now that it's not only gold and therefore a good place, you have to make good choices within it, but because you get a tax deduction up to $10,000 on state income taxes for each single person, but $20,000 combined on a joint return if you can deduct if you contribute that much money. And so here's a moment when, as property taxes and so forth are being limited and disappearing, you have another deduction. You can put your money in Bright Start Savings. And again, you still have to make investment choices. As you get closer to college, you want to be more conservative because exposure to the stock market could, of course, impact your things. But brightstartsavings.com. Congratulations
to the
Treasurer's Office as well, who supervised over the last few years the revolution in Bright Start.
Mike Frerich, who just won re-election. Terry Savage, thanks very much. Let's talk again next week. I appreciate it. Tell everyone over at the CME we said hi.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Seamus Toomey is in the studio, the editor-in-chief at Block Club Chicago. And, well, it's been kind of a funky show, Seamus, so I'm sorry we've moved everything around. Nice to see you.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Tell everyone first about Block Club Chicago, because it's something we should know about.
Absolutely. If you remember DNA Info, which was near and dear to my heart,
yes,
we are the folks from DNA Info. Shut down almost a year to this day, November 2nd of last year, and a bunch of us got together and said, hey, we don't want to stop. We're going to keep going. So we formed a nonprofit newsroom called Block Club Chicago. We're operating with DNA Info's all, you know, trademarks and archives,
right,
and all that. We've got all that. So the big difference is we're a subscription site. Please sign up. It's only $59 a year. And we're a nonprofit, so we're collecting donations. We're in the middle of a big pledge drive right now. Every dollar you give, we get two.
Look at you.
So look at me.
BlockClubChicago.org. But the reason I have you in here is because, you know, I enjoy talking to Andrew Herman from DNA about different neighborhood stories, things that were going on, and you guys still cover those things. In fact, there's the story about the old side of the double door, right, is finally, there's a new tenant going in there. Explain that for me.
Yeah, this was the sort of a classic DNA Info story. Mm. We covered this every turn of the screw, and we're still doing it at Block Club. You know, the double door shut down about 2 years ago after a long run on Milwaukee and Wicker
Institution.
Park.
I mean,
Institution.
It was, right.
I mean, just the, I was going through the list of all the.
I saw the Rolling Stones there.
I was going to ask you, were you at the Stone Show there?
No, but everyone says they
were there. Yeah, there was 10,000 people fit into that 500
right.
seat place. But just an institution and part of the character of Wicker Park, you know, a lot of the identity of Wicker Park. It shut down in basically a rent dispute would be the
right.
easiest way of saying
crazy.
It. And it's been 2 years, so, you know, you can't really blame Yeti for bouncing the double door. But the irony or just sort of the juxtaposition of this, you know, this super cool place being replaced by a place that sells $400 coolers.
It's right. And so, but that's interesting in itself because Yeti, they've got one other store and they don't really even call them stores, right? It's going to be, and it might be, it's kind of a venue in itself.
Right. We were calling it like almost like a theme park. You know, if you can picture like the Bass Pro Shop, it's more than just a store. You know, I think you can catch
right.
fish there.
Right.
It's going to be, you know, not necessarily that size, but they've got about 5,000 square feet to operate with. And so, you know, usually you can just buy these at your hardware store, or you buy
right.
them at your barbecue store or online.
But or you walk past them and say, who would spend that much money on that cooler?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So there's the Yeti experience moving into Wicker Park, where the double door was.
Yes, Wicker Park did not welcome it. I mean, there was the fallout on, at least on social media. The neighbors were really upset about just the...
All right, check out that and more at blockclubchicago.org. Seamus, thanks for your patience today. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.